Good morning.
Good morning.
Y'all all right this morning? Yeah, at least shake your head up and down, doing good. Got a special treat this morning. I see, looks like lots of Drew's family and friends are here today. Drew Johnson, we're going to get to see her baptized this morning. Come on down, Drew. Drew trusted Christ in Vacation Bible School. We didn't get to see her do that in our Vacation Bible School, but you did at the other another Vacation Bible School, right? And so, Drew, you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. She's saying, yeah. And so what Drew is doing today is following by obedience in baptism, as Jesus has taught us to do. And so we'll get ready to do that. Let's pray for Drew first before she's baptized. Father, thank you for Drew. We are so excited today and so thrilled to see someone give their heart to Jesus. Father, we ask that you would help us as a church to help Drew continue to grow in her faith in you, and Lord, that you would use her for your honor and glory, to lead other people to you. Father, bless her and help her as she grows, and we lift her to your throne in Jesus' name. Amen. Drew, because you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism and raised in newness of life. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and go back to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Open the service today. Father, thank you for what we have just witnessed. Lord, we are thrilled every time we get to see someone come and stir the waters of baptism. Father, you have saved a soul today, Lord. And Father, we are so grateful. We lift Drew again to your throne. Pray that us as a church, her family and friends would all come around her and rejoice with her today. Lord, as we begin our worship service now, Lord, may you be honored and glorified, and everything that's done would be pleasing unto you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Would you remain standing with us this morning as we begin our song service? In the sweet by and by.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there, in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore, in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rest, in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore, in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on on that beautiful shore to our bountiful Father above. We will offer the tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11 says, "Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all." Would you sing that chorus with me this morning? He is exalted.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted, the ever exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall stand. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
Would you go to the Lord in prayer with me this morning? Father, it is indeed an honor to share in Drew's life as we witnessed her profession before each and every person here. We celebrate in her baptism and her decision to follow You. And Lord, it's also a challenge to each and every person here to help her along her spiritual journey as she devotes her life to You, Lord. We love You, Father, and we thank You so much that You did indeed send Your Son to die for our sins, and that through You, and only through You, may we enjoy that time in the sweet by and by. Father, just bless this time that we've shared together this morning. Bless our pastor as he breaks the word to us this morning. Thank You for these guests and friends that are here to enjoy this time. We love You, Father. Thank You for Your love for us. In Jesus' sweet name I pray. Amen. We do welcome you here this morning. And if you will, just take a few moments and welcome those around you and give them the right hand of fellowship.
I saw you. As soon as I did it, I went. I looked. You got it.
Would you join me in a fellowship, this fellowship chorus this morning?
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
We thank you for sharing this time with us this morning. Would you be seated?
Very good to see all of you here today. And watch Drew be baptized. I'm so proud of that girl. She said she was a little nervous earlier. I told her I was nervous too. I don't know if that helped or not. Anyway, I want to talk to you in a few minutes this morning about heaven. We all want to know things about heaven. I'm not going to ask you to turn to a particular passage of Scripture. I'm going to use different Scriptures as we go along. And so you're welcome just to listen. What's up with heaven? When a Sunday school teacher quizzed her class of fifth graders about how one gets to heaven, she got all the correct answers. They came back and they said, well, you don't get to heaven by being good. You don't get there by giving money. You don't get there by being a nice person. Well, then she asked, well, how does one get to heaven? But before any of the regular students could answer, a boy who was visiting the class that week shouted out, you have to be dead. Well, that's right, isn't it? You have to be dead. That don't sound too good right now. We don't want to be dead right now. But unless Jesus returns and takes us off the earth to be with Him in heaven, then we have to die to get there. According to a Research Center's 2014 Religious Landscape Study, roughly 7 in 10 Americans say that they believe in heaven. That's about 72%. However, in that survey, the way heaven was described, you see, surveys can be skewed, can't they, just according to how the question's asked. So the definition of heaven was, it was defined as a place where people who led good lives are eternally rewarded. In other words, anybody who led a good life would go to heaven when they die. But that's not what the Bible says. One must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There must have been time in your life while you're still living and breathing that you made a decision for Christ, as Drew has. The church is also an important part of discovering what the Bible says one must do in order to get to heaven. There's other polls that have been done, you know, Barna Group and Gallup organization that you hear of about so much. They tell us that there's little difference between the morals and lifestyles of Christians and non-Christians. That's kind of sad, isn't it? You can't tell the difference. But I believe it's a problem of focus, maybe focusing on the wrong thing and an absence of focus on heaven for Christians. We lose sight of the fact that God has a wonderful destination prepared for people who have trusted Jesus. We lose sight of the fact that God's prepared this place, and what happens is a lot of times we start trying to create heaven on earth. The problem with that strategy is that we can never create on earth what God has designed for us in heaven. Solomon in the Bible, he tried to do that. He tried to create his own heaven on earth. And he tried that with, as we say, wine, women, and wealth. That's what he did. He finally woke up one day and discovered that's not it. But sadly, there's Christians today who have not discovered that yet. Because if we don't feed our hunger for heaven with biblical truth, then we're going to fall for all the glitz and glamour that the world has to offer. And it really does, doesn't it? There's a lot of glitz and glamour in the world that distracts us from the things that are most important. And then you go to the bookstore and you always see lots of books written about heaven. Somebody's always coming out with a book about heaven because people are interested in that, no doubt. They want to read things about heaven, although the church may not be talking much about heaven. Yet heaven is mentioned over 500 times in the Bible, and it's often referred to as a high and lofty place. We always talk about someone going up there or going up to heaven. Heaven is a consistent theme throughout all of the Bible. So what do you know about heaven this morning? What do you know? Well, the Bible speaks of three heavens. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:2, he talks about being caught up to a third heaven. And he refers to that third heaven as paradise. Well, it stands to reason that if there's a third heaven, then there must be a first and second heaven, right? How do you get a third without a first and a second? Well, the first heaven is spoken about in Isaiah 55, verse 9. It says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth." And verse 10 says, "For as the rain and snow come down from heaven." And so this heaven is the atmosphere surrounding the earth. It's the domain of birds and clouds and airplanes, people on airplanes, and drones these days, right? That's kind of funny, isn't it? And so this heaven is the domain of those. This is the heaven that we can see. We look up and see the clouds, the blue sky, and all of that. The first heaven. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20 says, "And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." And then the Bible speaks about a second heaven. Genesis chapter 1, again, verse 14, speaks of this heaven as the domain of heavenly bodies. The sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the galaxies out there besides our own galaxy. The second heaven is usually what we call outer space. I've never been to outer space, have you? We know some people that even though they're standing on the ground sometimes, it seems like they're in outer space, right? But we watch rockets fly off into outer space, and we kind of know some things about that. And so we know a lot of things, really, about the first and the second heaven, but then there's the third heaven that Paul spoke about. And the way he described that in 2 Corinthians 12, he didn't really say where he was, and actually he seemed not to know where he was. In 2 Corinthians 12, as I said, Paul said twice, he said, "I don't know, but God knows. I don't know, but God knows." In other words, God knows where heaven is. We can only assume that it's above the atmosphere where we see the birds hanging out. And it's farther up even still, beyond outer space, that we have to have a telescope to see with. But we do know that it's a place where God dwells. The third heaven is a place where God dwells. And most of the time when we talk about heaven, we're talking about that heaven, right? We might call the sky and outer space the heavens, but when we're talking about heaven, that's the place where God dwells. Jesus, when he taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer, he says, "Our Father," where? In heaven. Our Father in heaven. Psalm chapter 11, verse 4 says that the Lord's throne is in heaven. Heaven's the place where God is, and it's the destination of everybody who has trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. What about that place called heaven, that third heaven Paul spoke about? Well, John 14 is a classic text on that, on the subject of heaven, where we learn from Jesus as he's bringing this subject up with his disciples. You see, his disciples were very troubled at some news that Jesus just told them, because what Jesus told them was that he was about to die and that he would be buried and he would rise again and return to heaven. So the disciples are thinking, Jesus is going away. We're not going to see him anymore. That was sad and even disturbing news for them. But Jesus gave them the comfort and assurance by telling them that he was going there to prepare a place for them. So in other words, Jesus wasn't going to just leave them and go back to heaven where they would never see him again. He said, no, I'm going back there and I'm going to prepare a place for you to come and join me someday. So it is when someone trusts Jesus as Savior, he starts to work on that place for them that very day. Now, they may live on this earth for 100 years, and some people even live beyond 100 a little bit, don't they? But however long they live here, Jesus has been preparing that place for them up there in heaven. Well, Jesus answered again in that same John chapter 14, doubting Thomas. Y'all have heard of him, haven't you? Doubting Thomas. He doubted everything. You know anybody like that? They don't believe anything that anybody says. Well, one of the disciples was like that. He kind of doubted what was going to happen there. And Jesus told him, Thomas, no one goes to the Father except through me. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one goes to heaven except through me. That's in John 14, 6. So there's not many ways to pick from in order for one to go to heaven. There's only one way. The Bible teaches that one way is Jesus. It doesn't have anything to do with you living a good life and how well you've obeyed the law or how well you've raised your kids or any of these kind of things. It has everything to do with Jesus, with Jesus. And so that description that was I mentioned earlier from that poll, where it described heaven as a place where people who have lived a good life go to get rewarded one day, what about those that have not lived a very good life? What about those who have been in all kinds of trouble? What about that person who's lived a life of sin? Is there any hope for that person? Well, there is hope for that person because the true definition of heaven is a place where those who have trusted Jesus as Savior go. Because, see, that person who's lived not that good of a life, and I don't know who of us in here have lived a perfect life, right? We haven't. But you see, Jesus, his sacrifice on the cross for us was in order that we could have our sins forgiven and he would make everything right in our lives and so that we could get to that place called heaven one day. Now, heaven is a real place that Jesus spoke of that he was going to prepare for those who trusted him as Savior. Those who follow in Jesus got a place, a reservation in heaven. You know, when you leave home, you know when you grow up and you leave home and you move out of mom and dad's house, and you know, for me, it was always nice to go back home. Because you go back home and mom just knew what kind of food to fix and all that kind of stuff. Just made you feel so good just to get to go back home. But now, I'm older, mom and dad are both in heaven, and in the past few years, the house that I grew up in from the ground up till the time I got married and left home, it burned. It burned to the ground. And of course, I had to go out there and look at it, probably shouldn't have. But I can't go back there anymore. And even if I could go back there, mom and dad wouldn't be there anyway because they're in heaven. But the thing of it is, that place in heaven that Jesus is preparing for me, that's my true home. And nothing can take that away from me because I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. So one day I'm going to go home again and be with him, and it's going to be great, right? It's going to be like going back home again. Well, heaven's going to be like home because it is home for those who trusted Christ. Heaven's also a precious place full of precious memories. Well, let's think about that a minute. Everything that should be precious to a follower of Christ applies to heaven, because that's where Christ is, that's where he will be, and where we will be. And so here's some other reasons why that is precious. Well, first off, heaven is precious, as I have already said, because Jesus is there. That's the number one thing, isn't it? It's precious because he's there. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24 says, "For Christ has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf." Jesus has entered heaven. Heaven's described in Revelation, the book of Revelation, as this stunningly beautiful place. But as beautiful as it is, it'll pale in comparison to our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. We can see the one who died for us, the one who suffered the penalty of our sins, and then we're told in the Bible we can even see the scars in his hand and his side where he made the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice for us. Heaven's precious because Jesus is there. Well, heaven's also precious because our relationships are there. Our friends and loved ones who knew Christ will be there. Interesting words again in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23 says, "The assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven." When Jesus became your Savior, he enrolled you in heaven. That's a pretty awesome thought, isn't it? For Drew, I'm going to pick on you all morning. This is your day, by the way. For Drew, when she trusted Jesus as Savior at her young age, God enrolled her in heaven. Isn't that wonderful news? Enrolled her in heaven. And when we get there, we'll see all of our friends and relatives who also knew Jesus and be united with them for eternity. Mom and Dad and our friends and all those who have gone before us that knew Jesus. Well, heaven's also a precious place because our inheritance is there. Did you know, as a follower of Christ, that you have an inheritance waiting on you? An inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us that. An inheritance reserved in heaven for us as a child of your Father God. You are an heir to the kingdom. We're kingdom folks, by the way. So hold your head up high this morning. You're a kingdom folks in here this morning. You're heirs to the kingdom. That's what the Bible teaches. This is an inheritance that is for sure, by the way. It won't go up and down with the stock market. It won't go south or change because of who's the president of the United States. It's for sure. Our inheritance is for sure. Well, then, heaven is also a precious place because our home is there. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "Our citizenship is in heaven." Yeah, right now we're citizens of America. Praise God. Do you like being a citizen of the United States today? Say amen. That ought to get a rise out of you. But that's just temporary. Because eternity is a lot longer than the 100 years or whatever you'll live on this earth. Heaven is permanent. It's our permanent official residence. It's precious because our home is there. Heaven is also precious because our reward is there. Listen to what Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12 says. "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." It said, rejoice and be glad. It says your reward is in heaven. To some, when you're talking about rewards in heaven, that doesn't sound very spiritual, because we don't know how to act about that. We're going to get a reward when we go to heaven. And some say, well, if I just make it to heaven, that's reward enough for me. And that will be big, won't it? But God's all about rewards. All throughout the Bible, God makes promises that have positive benefits as rewards. God motivates us motivates us to be faithful here by the promise of rewards there. You earn rewards in heaven by being faithful to Him. And then the Bible speaks about us taking those rewards and laying them at the feet of Jesus when we get there, because He's the one that truly should be rewarded, right? Heaven is also precious because our treasures are there. Jesus said in Matthew 6:19, says, "Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, or where thieves do not break in and steal." Then it says, "For where your treasure is, your heart will be there also." How do we store up treasures in heaven? We store up treasures in heaven one way, by investing on earth in the only thing that's going to make it to heaven, and that's the souls of men and women and boys and girls. The Word of God and the human soul are the only eternal things on earth. So to build equity in heaven, we have to build the Word of God into the lives of people. That's why it's important to come to church. It really is. Because where else are we going to hear on a regular basis the Word of God being taught and explained? Now, I think everybody should be in a church that teaches it correctly, right? And solidly. But we need to be there. And then the last thing is, heaven is precious because our reservation is there. Listen to what Revelation 21:27 says. It says that only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are allowed into heaven. Only those who have their name in the book. Do you have your name in the book this morning? You know how you get your name in the book? It rolls right back to Jesus again, doesn't it? It's trusting Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's how you get your name in the book. Your name gets recorded when you come and you realize that you can't save yourself, that you can't forgive your own sins. Sins is something that stands in between us and being right with God. There's no other way to take care of that except for the sacrifice that Jesus has already made for us on the cross. And really, He's already done all the work for you. He's already went to the cross. You didn't have to go to the cross and die. You didn't have to sacrifice your physical life in order to make it to heaven. Jesus has already done that. He's just asking that you come confessing your sins to Him, not the preacher, but confessing your sins to Him and believing Him to be your Lord and Savior. That's about the size of it. And so why would someone continue to put that off if they know that's all they have to do? People say, "Well, you know what? As soon as I do this and as soon as I do that, then I'll come to Jesus." "Well, preacher, I've got this little thing over here that I kind of like to do, and I'm not sure if the church approves of that or not." You know what? It doesn't matter if the church approves. It matters if God approves of it, really, doesn't it? "But I don't, as soon as I clean this area up in my life, I'll come and I'll give my heart to Jesus." Now, why don't you come and give your heart to Jesus and let Him help you with that? See, we can't clean ourselves up first. That's impossible. If that's the way you did it, I don't think any of us would have a chance to clean ourselves up. But why don't you come to Jesus? Because He's promised to help you clean up those things and deal with it. It's like the guy that had a problem. I'll just use alcohol, for instance. He thought he needed to clean that up in his life. He was an alcoholic before he could come to Jesus. And when he came to Jesus, and it doesn't work this way with everybody that has that kind of problem, but when he came to Jesus, it happened for him. God cleaned his life up immediately. And somebody asked him, says, "Don't you want to drink again?" He says, "That's the thing. I don't want to drink again. God took that away from me." A lot of times that's the way God works immediately. For others, it's a process. So if you got that kind of, or some kind of an issue like that, then you can know that coming to Jesus is the first step of it all. That's the first step. And so I want to invite you to do that today. We're going to have an invitation time, and everybody will be standing and singing, and I'm going to stand down here. And if you would really, if you'd love to give your heart to Jesus today, then just come down and tell me about it. And if you don't feel like coming down, if that's too, not everybody, some people get nervous about that. Why don't you tell someone here who's a Christian friend? Tell them what you did. Or pull me off to the side when you're leaving. Any kind of thing like that. The important thing is trust Jesus. Let's stand. And let's